Welcome to the podcast that puts a finger on the pulse of medicine and technology. On this show, you'll hear from investors, industry executives, and healthcare providers on the science and business of medicine. I'm your host, Omar M. Khatib, and this is the State of MedTech.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the show. So this episode, this is actually a previously recorded live broadcast I did. So if you didn't know, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, I do a show called Medical Sales Live. It broadcasts live on LinkedIn and to YouTube. What it really is a live coaching call for the members of my program, the Medical Sales Network Effects Program, where they usually submit questions ahead of time or they show up and ask me questions and I answer them. And for the most part, I only take questions from members of my program. Occasionally, I'll take it from people on LinkedIn, but I felt selfish not, allowing other people outside the program to see this. So I publicize it that way for those of you who are thinking about the program, or maybe, you know, for whatever reason, it's not a good time, or you didn't qualify for the program at the time that you applied, you can still get some value. So the questions I've been getting a lot recently were around the video sales letter. And so I wanted to provide a framework on how that works. And so you're going to listen to this episode and get that framework. Now, if you follow the steps in this episode and apply it, like, you will get good results. Like, I promise you that, because I've been testing this for many years now. Plus, I've also validated the same model with other entrepreneurs and people who do, you know, thousands of video sales letters like per week with their sales teams. So if you haven't used video like in your sales pitches, let me explain why you should consider it. Okay. For one thing, let's just face it, no matter how good you are at closing, it doesn't matter if you cannot prospect. I have the saying, everybody wants to close, nobody wants to sell, right? And part of selling is prospecting and the cold call, right? And if you're not good at converting people that way, then you're screwed. Like, you're literally a sitting duck. And at that point, you're 100% relying on the market to essentially adopt your product, right? And that's a very risky place to be in. Now, just to give you some like stats and data behind this, and I'm pulling this from a few sales research organizations. So one of them is like Pay Kickstart, right? So when it comes to video, right, the moment you just mention the word video in your email subject line, right? I was just checking the company. So Brain Shark did the market research on this, right? You can increase your open rates literally close to 20%, right? And your click-through rates will go up to about 65%, which is really high. And the reason why is that when you have something that's a little bit more personalized, people are more likely to engage with it, right? So if your surgeon gets an email from you and that email says, hey, I made this video for you, and they click it, and there's a video of you, and the first few seconds, like, you're saying their name, you have something personal, like, they're going to watch it to completion. Right. Now, that's not, you know, just by using a video sales letter, like, let's say you record a video on your iPhone and text it to them or message them, or you use like software like Vidyo or Loom, like, that by itself will get you to, you know, get them to open it and look at the video. That's not going to guarantee that you're going to get a meeting. This is where a lot of salespeople get frustrated, is that, oh, I've done all these video sales letters, it doesn't work for me. And then I look at the videos and they're absolute garbage, right? They're like 2-3 minutes long. You know, the rep is like spending 30 seconds. Oh, my name is blah, blah, blah. And I work for this, that, and company. And we believe in, nobody cares about that. And so the process you're going to hear is not only effective. I call it the 57 second sales video. There's a reason why it's 57 seconds. But it's very much rooted in psychology, right? Persuasion, which is the thing that you need to actually work, right? If you follow this process, not only will your pitches be better, but the way you sell will improve. I promise you that, right? One last thing I'll mention is, if you're listening to this, let's say on Apple or Google, you can go to YouTube or Spotify and watch this, because I'm uploading the video so you can see the whiteboard. But for the most part, I do a good job explaining how to think this through. Towards the end, I also go into the follow-up, right? So what do your follow-up emails look like? You know, all of this is going to be important. If you follow these steps, like, you will see an improvement in what you do. Last thing I'll mention is that if you're a salesperson and you're ready to actually like stop screwing around and level up your game, I want you in my program, right? Not everybody qualifies for my medical sales network effects program. Not everybody goes through with it, right? But if you're interested in being part of an elite group of people, right? CEOs, VPs, other sales reps, right? And you want to learn not only how to leverage, let's say, LinkedIn, but how do you sell digitally using virtual demos, video sales letters, all those things. We cover that in the program. The program covers, we have a private community. We have live virtual events. We have a lot of great content. It'll put you on another level. So if you're interested, check the show notes below. Book a time with me to apply and have a quick interview and see if you fit for the program. If not, then you know I have also another mini course called the LinkedIn Profile Upgrade. You can go to linkedinprofileupgrade.com and buy that little mini course there. I think it's like $100 or $200 at this point. So with that being said, let's get on to the show. Happy Thursday. Welcome to another great edition of Medical Sales Live. And today we have a great topic. The topic is, if you can't tell from behind me, the 57-second sales video, right? And so for today's topic, the reason why I want to make sure I cover it, and of course, as always, because we can't rely on anything from LinkedIn, I'm going to do a quick sound check. And just like that, no problems today. I'm super happy to hear it. And as always, you know how we start the show. Go ahead and drop. Oh man, some people might have beaten me to it. You guys are getting really good. As always, comment what city are you joining in from? I always like to see. We've had a lot of people from Australia and Canada lately, which I like. So as people comment, we'll give you a little bit of shout outs for those of my students watching on Zoom. I got a couple of questions. We're going to make sure to cover them today. And then we're going to jump right into the topic, which is the 57-second sales video letter. And there's a reason why it's 57 seconds, by the way. Slightly arbitrary, but there's a reason why I named it that. So right now, the most important thing today or before is how do you get the attention of a physician, especially if it's a busy surgeon or anybody else, right? How do you get their attention and move them into the most important thing, which is that intro call, right? That little gap, right? If you can't seem to get over that gap, it doesn't matter how good you are or how great your technology is, you're going to have a problem with pipeline. Everything that a lot of my philosophy when it comes to sales and marketing has to do with the fact that it's a numbers game, right? And no matter how magnetic and compelling your offer might be, if you have a problem with top of funnel conversions, right? AKA, if you're going to cast a wide net and you say, hey, you know, of the 10 targets I have, hospital surgeons, whatever, I think I can convert 30% of them into the next step, right? You know, you're going to win when you turn that number from 10 to 20 to 30, right? But the other side of it is that it's not necessarily the number that's important, it's the approach. And so if you do something where you take your conversion from, let's say, a 10 to 20%, let's say on how many people open your email, how many people actually move forward into a meeting. If you take that number from 10 to 20% to even just 30 or 40%, your life changes, your career changes, right? Because the math just works out for you. And so I want to go through what does the video sales letter entail, right? And why you should be using, but more importantly, a framework for you to get started, okay? And here's a bonus I have today. After we cover this part, I'm going to cover the second part, which a lot of people struggle with, which is the follow-up. The follow-up is extremely important, but the way that most people follow up is absolutely garbage. So let's see. I told you we got an international crowd today. Look, we got Lawand Molag joining from Malmo, Sweden. We got Christopher Gates from Eugene, Oregon. Man, I hope you're feeling. And look, there we go. I called it out, Australia, earlier. Monrell Biggs from Melbourne, Australia. Oh, we got somebody from Brazil. This is the name of Fabio Garcia from Brazil. Welcome, welcome. And of course, over on Zoom, we got Ty Hagler from Chapel Hill, otherwise known as Chapel Thrill. Joe Park in Dallas, Texas. And okay, we got a bunch of people, so I can't name everybody, but thanks for commenting. Okay, now let's go ahead and get started. So we have a couple quick questions we're gonna answer, and then we're gonna jump into the framework. So The first question, let's see. Oh, and just as a reminder, okay, if you're a capital rep, submit your deal anonymously to be featured on Deal Rip Live. Go to dealrip.com. We're doing the first one next week. And guess what? We got two fantastic deals to do. All right. So one of the questions, which I'm going to answer later in this broadcast, but Mark has a question, which is how do you increase your show rate for demos and discovery calls? I'm going to answer that in a little bit later, but just to kind of get that covered and out of the way right now, the number one way to increase, like without spending more money or doing anything extra, your notifications, right? Notifications are key. And so what I would do, just for context, okay, I collect data on everything. So if you're a salesperson, you should not be relying on your company to, you know, be your mommy and hold your hand and bring you milk and cookies and tell you, oh, you should be tracking all this. You need to track it yourself. Otherwise, how do you get better? So my show up rate for last year, I did 140 intro calls, like intro meetings. Okay. My show up rate is 98% for that. 98%. How did I get to that high show up rate? Very simple. When someone books a meeting with me, automatically, I have a reminder, a Gmail, a Google Calendar notification set so that it reminds them 3 hours before the meeting, 30 minutes before the meeting, and then 5 minutes before the meeting. If you have a Google Calendar alert that does, like, let's say 10 minutes before the meeting, 15 minutes, that's enough time that they can get up and walk around, but you want to stay ahead of them. Now, if the other thing I would say is that if your show up rate is like less than 90%, what I would say is there's two problems. You have a targeting problem where you're targeting the wrong person, right? And usually these go together, and or the meeting that you're setting, you're not positioning enough value for it, right? And here's the thing. If your meeting is literally like, oh, you're going to learn about my product, man, that there's so many things that end up taking priority over something like that. It's like, I'm hungry. I want to go get a snack or like watch this product demo snack. You need to overcome that by providing something that's extremely valuable in that meeting. So as an example, for me, for anybody who's been in my program, you know, I do a free LinkedIn profile consult. Like, that's really valuable, right? So I would have something of value where they say, I don't want to miss this meeting. And you have to be explicit, right? And by explicit, I mean that you have to tell them, hey, we don't, you know, like you can say something like, you know, when it comes to cancellations, if you end up canceling, we're not going to be able to get you rebooked for like a week or two. So if you have to cancel, please let us know ahead of time. Like, you have to be very clear about that, right? As a salesperson, it is scary to do this because you're trying to get more people into your deals. You need to tell somebody right up front, like, that your time is valuable. Even when I get on, when I was selling in med device, right? Or now, whenever I get on a meeting, I don't care if it's the CEO of Penn Health System or just a surgeon who's in solo private practice, I never say something like, oh, I'm so happy that you were able to carve out time out of your busy schedule and meet with me. You've already put yourself in a submissive, less dominant position. You need to put your time at the same level as these people and say, hey, I'm happy that we were both able to carve out time in our busy schedules to meet. Like, you have to value yourself as a salesperson. Okay. So that's my answer to that. Now let's get into this framework. Okay. So the 57 second sales video. Okay. Why is it the 57 second sales video? Well, my thing is this. Some of you, not all of you, might have a talent for creating content, right? And so a lot of times to stay in front of your customer, okay, you need to be able to create some content so that you stay front of mind with them. That includes like posting content on LinkedIn. Some of you, like, I'll give you a great example, like Guida Loveras is one of the people in my program she's doing great on LinkedIn, but she's also got a phenomenal Instagram presence, right? You got to be better about making videos that are less than a minute, okay? There's a time and a place for long form content, but if you're trying to get top of funnel attention, right? People who are not aware of you, you know, just learning, et cetera, it needs to be shortened to the point. And so I believe in systems over goals. A goal is something very black and white. A system is something that can help you achieve that goal, but it will give you a skill set or a talent stack that gets you past that goal and get other things. So in creating your video pitches, when you start focusing on a 57-second pitch, and if anything, if you get to 30-second, even better, you are now not only training yourself to be a lot more concise and more strategic about the words you use, you're also training yourself so that when you decide to create content for LinkedIn, right, in the form of short form videos, LinkedIn and even Instagram and TikTok, right, it depends on your career goals, you've now developed a skill set that's leverageable into all those areas. If you spent all this time creating these like 2-3 minute demos, that's a skill set that is not transferable to anything, right? So I always try and think about systems, okay? So now let me see. And by the way, for the people who are on Zoom, if you have a question, just raise your hand, but let me just start jumping into it. Okay. Oh, Lynn, quick shout out. I'm always going to pull up comments for people showing some love. So Lynn Sorelli Favoretto says, "Hey, Omar, love your podcast." Hey, Lynn, we love you too. If you love it, give it 5 stars. Okay. Now let's get into the 57-second sales video. Okay. Again, why 57 seconds? Whether it's YouTube shorts, TikTok, Instagram reels, all of them require that your video be less than a minute. Now, some of them, you know, they're allowing you to upload like longer videos, but the original rules for these, like even YouTube shorts, 60 seconds or less. Some of you might say, "Hey, Omar, I am never going to create any content for social media." Well, if something happens in the next few years where you're in a position where you decide you're going to start a business, maybe you're going to start creating your own content, isn't it better just to have that skill anyways? That's number one. And number two, this is going to force you to get to the point. Constraints are your friends. Some people don't like it when there's a character limit on something and they have to do it within a short amount of time. It's going to help you get to the point. Okay. Now, let me break this down, this framework. Okay. You memorize this framework. And again, for those who are just joining, we're going to be doing the, and actually, hold on, let me put something up on the banner. 57 seconds. All right. So for those who are just joining right now as well, I'm going to give you a framework for the follow-up. The follow-up is very important. Okay. So here's the breakdown on this framework. Okay. The first 8 seconds, we're going to start with pain, okay? And I'm going to give you an example of what that pain is like. You start with pain, then you dig deeper into the problem, then solution, and then a CTA. A CTA is known as a call to action, meaning when they're done with this, like, what the hell do you want them to do, right? Okay, so let's be clear. Now, when it comes to your video sales letters, you want to be able to track them and get some data on it. I recommend using a software called Vidyard, V-I-D-Y-A-R-D, like Video Yard, Vidyard.com. Loom, L-O-O-M.com is also a good one. But believe it or not, depending on the channel you use, okay, sometimes it's better to use literally your phone, record yourself, and send that video just like that via LinkedIn, via email. Okay, depending on the platform, and then having a call to action link. Okay, sometimes, and I'll explain why in a moment. But let's just assume you use video sales software. First of all, why do we start with the pain? If you haven't noticed, there's no room in here for, "Oh, hi, my name is Jane Smith, and I work for blah 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 corporation, where our mission is blah." They're not gonna even watch the video. It's done at that point. Like it's so boring. You do not want to start your videos boring somebody. Nobody cares who you are. Nobody cares your company and everything. What they care about is, why did you make this video? The moment you make it about them, now you have their interest. Remember, if you cannot get attention, you cannot persuade. I don't care if you're giving out suitcases of $1 million. Can't get attention, can't persuade. Okay. What gets attention? Pain. Pain and problems. Why? This brain in our head has not evolved in the last thousands of years, right? Hasn't evolved. Okay. What has our, you know, our brain, brainstem, all these functions, what is it evolved to do? To make sure we don't die. Which means attention is placed where? On things that are threat to survival, right? Think about a big majority of your decisions on a day-to-day basis have to do with not dying. I'm hungry, I need to eat. That's a survival instinct, right? I want to buy, you know, oh, that dress looks really nice. I think I'm going to buy it for when I go out this weekend. Survival. How? I don't want to look embarrassed to the tribe that I'm with. And, you know, if I'm embarrassed, like that's going to feel like I'm dying, right? So everything is going back to that. And so what you want to lead with is the pain. Here's the other reason why. You cannot change behavior. You cannot. There are behavior change models, but you can't just change behavior by itself. Like if somebody is unaware of a pain and problem that they have, it's very difficult to get their attention about something that they're unaware of or they don't have a problem with, right? So you have to lead with the pain. The other reason why is, again, you want to focus your activities on places that are going to make you money. Meaning, if you send this video sales letter to 10 people, okay, you want only the people who have the pain to watch the full video and book time with you. Because if you do something, for example, see this call to action here, we're going to get to this in a second. In your call to action, you want to have a compelling offer. A compelling offer is not, hey, sign up so I can tell you more about our product. That's not strong enough. There has to be something in there. For example, something that I did in the past, I do it currently, which is I help medtech companies put a CME credit to their demo. That's a compelling offer. Or maybe you can do some kind of an analysis for them, right? Or if you're really creative as a salesperson, let's say you work for Medtronic or Johnson & Johnson or Stryker, whoever, and you just say, hey, you know, doctor, by the way, after this call, I'm actually really good. I have a very strong LinkedIn brand. Part of this, just this something for me, I'm going to give you a quick like LinkedIn profile content. I'm going to give you some tips on how you can improve your profile as a thought leader, right? Now you've just created a product outside of your company, right? You don't want to lead with this in the front. Why? Because there might be somebody who's like, I don't really care about any of this, but yeah, I want that offer. So I'm just going to get on the call and get the offer. You do not want to give out tchotchkes so people show up, right? Might feel good for you in the moment because nobody's going to criticize you for having sales activities. Like when you have meetings, nobody's going to say, why do you have so many meetings? But guess what? You're going to lose your job in a quarter or two when all those meetings amount to nothing and they end up being deals and resources that the company wasted a lot of time on, right? So you start with the pain. 8 seconds. How's that 8 seconds break down? There's a 3 second hook, okay? And a 5 second dig, okay? So what does a 3 second hook look like, okay? A 3 second hook looks like this. It's like, doctor, have you ever struggled with a case where you're spending way too much time on this one specific area? That's a good hook because that's painful enough where even if it bothers them a little bit, in their mind, they're going to say yes. You need to get them to say yes from the beginning. Like get them saying yes. The way you dig into that is like when you waste time like that, not only are you wasting your own time, but you're wasting, let's say, hospital resources, and it's extremely frustrating. Like you need to find a way to dig deeper into that pain. The best way to figure this out is not to think about it in your head. Talk to your own customers, okay? My messaging in the past and currently, what makes it strong and magnetic and effective is not because I sat in my room and I pontificated and thought about it myself. It's because I literally talked to customers and I used their language, okay? Let's see, we got a comment here. Okay, we got Ahmed joining from H-Town. Welcome, Ahmed. Okay, so lead with that pain. Again, that's how you get attention. If the language is correct, right, and it's painful enough, they will pay attention. Okay. Look, I'll give you another great example. Think about my messaging for a lot of the people in my program or people in medical sales. What are the things I lead with? Are you tired of not having access in hospital and getting kicked out? Right. That'll get you your attention. Right. So The pain has to focus on an emotion. Okay. It has to focus on something that's frustrating to them, right? The whole point of this 8 seconds is that you got to get their attention. Look, even, and for those who don't believe me, I don't care what you say, whether it's a surgeon, I don't care if they're 70 years old or 30 years old. Everybody's been conditioned by TikTok, by Instagram Reels, by Facebook. Even if you don't have a TikTok, you know, you can find these videos on YouTube. And because of the way people are being conditioned on these platforms, think about the news, think about sports. Everything is adjusting for shorter attention spans, right? There's ways to get people's attention over a long period of time. I used to do webinars for over 2 hours and have a 90% retention rate last year, right? There's a time and place for that. Okay, that's the pain part. So you got to start with a strong hook and pain. Once you get to that, you move into the problem. You're going to spend 30 seconds on this, okay? What's the breakdown? You need to think about two things. Problem. Okay. There we go. What you need to focus on when any kind of issues there, there's a present pain that someone has, and that present pain is manufacturing and manifesting in their mind a future fear. Okay. And a lot of times this future fear hasn't even been manufactured, right? Because nobody's conveyed the present pain to them. Usually it's a feeling, right? If you think about it, think about infomercials, right? Those late night info products. Why are they so hyperbolic? Like they, you know, somebody's carrying a dish and it's like, are you tired of carrying too many dishes? And it shows them falling over. They exaggerate these things because it's amplifying a current pain, and then they always move to a future fear. You do the same thing here. And so when you start talking about the problem, right, you want to focus on maybe three pains they're dealing with today and then translate them into the three fears of the future, right? It doesn't have to be three. I always like to use three. Another example, when I was at Potrero Medical, we dealt with acute kidney injury. Okay, I was able to get, for those of you who watch, 30 deals in pipeline within 60 days. How did I do that? In my hooks, in my pitches, whether it was written or through video, I used both. Okay, the first 8 seconds, I would say, hey, you know, if acute kidney injury has been an issue for you because your cases go great, but then you get readmitted because of AKI, that's the pain. Then we go into the problem. It's like, acute kidney injury increases the patient's mortality by this much. It, you know, they're often readmitted within 30 days, you know, and there's like a third one, right? And I go to the future. Over time, right, this can cost your hospital and you $100,000 per patient. You know, so now you're amplifying the pain, amplifying the future fear, right? Okay. And by doing that, right, you're educating them about the problem, okay? From there, again, this is a 30-second framework right here. From the problem, you're going to have to move into solution. Let me be very clear about this. Solution is not, oh, look, I'm so smart. I set up this pain and problem for you. Oh, I have a product that solves it. Like low yield, used car, not even like to say that's a used car salesman, like would be an insult to used car salesmen. Used car salesmen are actually very good at what they do, by the way, for all the flack they get. Would your solution has to be unbranded, okay? Because why? When you turn what most medical salespeople do is they do this entire framework in reverse. They start with a call to action. Hi, doctor, I'd really like to schedule you for a demo to learn about our product XYZ. Our product XYZ does, you know, solves this problem in this way, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and by that point, no one cares. They just log out. They're not going to finish the video. They're not going to finish reading your message. Focus on the customer first. Focus on the pain and problem. Be an expert there. Because if you're able to speak to them, right, in a way that resonates and shows that you understand what they're dealing with and you're able to amplify that, now you have their attention, okay? Once you get to the solution, now you can talk about non-branded solution. Again, I'm going to go back to the example with Potrero Medical. With Potrero Medical, we had a device that automated the measurement of urine output. Why? Because of the acute kidney injury. So we educated of acute kidney injury, the pain that you're dealing with, right? The problems it's going to cause. What's the solution? We didn't jump to the product. We would say the solution to this is automating these vital signs. Because when you automate urine output, you're able to capture continuous data. And with continuous data, you're able to predict the pathology before it happens. Now I framed it. Do you see what happened there? We got their attention with pain. We educated them about the problem. We educated them about the solution. Now we move into the product side. Now, the product side, this is not the time to dive into product. You can mention the product. I often don't even mention the product. Your goal is the CTA, the call to action, to say, you know, if what I just described is something that resonates with you, if this is an issue that you're dealing with, I'd love to show you how our product was designed specifically for this. By the way, in this demo, you know, it may be for you, it may not be. Either case, you're going to get a free CME credit just for that quick 15-minute call. Plus, it would really help me a lot just to get your feedback on this technology. Okay, what do we do there? We had a magnetic offer. So again, just for them to spend time, they're going to get a CME credit. Again, if you're watching this, you're a med tech company and you want to figure out how to put a CME credit to your demo, send me a direct message because I've been doing this for a few years now and I'm a partner with a company that does this. Okay. Now, let's say you don't want to do a CME credit or you can't right now. You have to offer something. Like, give them a really good reason. It's not enough anymore. Just like, hey, you have a problem. We have a product that solves it. If they're not happy, I mean, unless they're unhappy with their current solution, if their current solution works, they're not going to get it and they're not going to get on the call. And this is where a lot of medical salespeople struggle is, and think about it. Any idiot could sell somebody who has a pain, has a problem, and they're really frustrated with their current solution. That's not hard. What's hard is how do you compel somebody who doesn't have that big of a problem, but they're for the most part happy more or less with their current solution, but you're able to create such a compelling offer that they just say, yeah, let me just meet with this person. Because once you get them on the call, now you can ask questions and you start developing the language you need to persuade them to move to the next step. That's why it's called discovery, right? It's called discovery because once you get on, you ask questions, they start articulating things for the first time, right? And again, on those discovery calls, right? When you move it to let's say a 10-minute follow-up call, you go back to pain and problem. Why? Because you want them to explain the pain and the problem in their own words. And the best salespeople listen, they take the language that's being conveyed in that pain and problem, and then they customize and repeat back to that person that frame, and it's the first time they're hearing it. That's what gets somebody to move forward. Okay. Now we see some Richard, you got a great comment. I'm going to bring that up in a second. If you have questions or comments, please drop them in the chat. Okay. Now, the last part, the call to action. Okay. So I'll go back through this again because I see a bunch of people jumping in and out. Welcome everybody to the show. The call to action. And don't worry, for those who just joined late, I'm going to go through this one more time. Don't worry. Call to action. Remember, all your emails, you should try to have some kind of call to action to move them forward. Okay. 9 seconds. Okay. Magnetic offer. Okay. Keep in mind, in order to persuade, you got to get somebody to pay attention. Once they pay attention, before they pay you with their money, they're going to have to pay with their time. Whether they're going to pay with their money directly or they're going to pay with their political capital in their hospital, you got to get them to pay with their time. Time is valuable. Time is more valuable today than it was 5 years ago. Why? Let me give you a hint for all the medical salespeople who are struggling out there. You're not just competing against other device reps and pharma reps anymore, my friends. 10 years ago, SMB, which stands for small businesses, SMB SaaS and enterprise SaaS, for those who don't know, SaaS stands for software as a service. That didn't exist. And now there's an explosion of SaaS salespeople selling hospital automation tools, private practice tools, marketing tools, all these. And here's the other thing, my friends. Unlike the med device industry, there's no FDA in the SaaS world. So there are, like, every day there's a new SaaS tool coming out with SaaS salespeople. So that's what you're competing with, right? And again, just so you guys know this, okay, this is why medical sales, this is the most difficult job on planet Earth. Okay. I'm not gonna call Lynn. Yes, this is gonna be recorded. You can watch this on my LinkedIn. For the people who are in my program, you can actually find a library of these. The reason why SaaS is also difficult to compete with, I'm not gonna mention the company name, but there's somebody in my program who's one of the CTOs for a software company. Okay. Do you know what that software company can do that the med device company cannot do? They can give out gift cards. They can give out extravagant gifts, all kinds of things. You know why? Because these software tools have nothing to do with patient care. And so that means there's nothing to do with FDA, right? That's what you're competing against. And so you need to have a compelling reason for this physician to meet with you. And again, maybe a lot of you work for Strikers and Johnson & Johnson of the world, even at a startup. Your company can only do so much for you. This is where, as a salesperson, productizing yourself, right, makes it better. If you look at the people in the program, when you spend time updating your LinkedIn and having a presence on there, you become a person of interest. You've productized yourself. And so when a physician is thinking about meeting with you, they might just meet with you because they just find you to be an interesting person. Who cares? All you need is for them to take that call, right? That's the important thing, okay? So in this call to action, again, talk to your company, have them add a CME credit to it, have them talk to me, okay? Because I have packages for that, okay? And again, by the way, I am a small business. Am I pitching my own product here? Yeah, absolutely. But also because I want to see you all win, like, personally, right? And so you have to improve your offers here. And if you can't, let's just say your company's cheap and they're like, no, we just want you to struggle. You as a salesperson need to say, what can I learn that'll be valuable to this physician? Oh, you know what? Let's say you're a salesperson. You took some courses on public speaking. You go and find that this physician has some videos. So you can say in your call to action, I've done this before. I was like, many years ago, I got this chair of surgery on a demo because I said, hey, you know, I'd love to show you more about my product and everything. By the way, I'm actually, one of my hobbies is public speaking. I'm in Toastmasters, et cetera. And I looked up some of your talks on YouTube. They're actually really good, but I'd love to give you some specific feedback on those talks, on how you can improve them. Got them on the meeting, right? And again, there's an exchange of value. You can do something like that, provide value. Now you've been put in a position of authority, and naturally the physician's like, yeah, great. So by the way, tell me about your company and your product. Like, what is it, right? This is how you start developing those relationships, and then you can channel and move people forward. Okay. This is very tactical, but it works. What's your other choice? You're just going to keep banging on the door. Here's the other thing that you guys have to keep in mind. For the people who work for morons who say stupid things like, oh, if you can't see them, you can't sell them. Go to the hospital and figure it out. Or most recently, a rep told me that his management said that a good indication is you get kicked out of the hospital. If you're at a company where their MO or method of operation is like, oh, you're doing a good job selling, if you get kicked out of the hospital, quit that company. I would quit it because I'm going to find out what company that is at some point, and I'm going to roast them. I really mean it. I work for nobody at this point. I have my own business. I'm going to make it such a humiliating, comical ordeal if you sell this way that nobody will ever do it again. Just watch. Okay. I'm going to go through the framework one more time. I see a lot of people who just joined in late, but let me bring up Richard Southgate. Richard, thanks for joining. So Richard says, love this idea.
There, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Now, if you're in medical sales, you're going to want to listen to us, whether you're a capital sales rep, an associate sales rep, maybe you're a VP leading a sales team, or perhaps you're the CEO and founder of a company and you're doing your first sales hire. Let's face it, medical sales has changed quite a lot from just the past few years. But let me tell you how much it's changed, and more importantly, how bad it's gotten.
There's a company called Access Monitor that did a survey of over 347,000 physicians over the period of about 8 or 9 years, right? And they started in 2008, and they wanted to see what percentage of physicians were accessible to reps. And the way they defined that is if a physician took 70% of the calls that a rep made, they were considered accessible. So if a physician gets 100 calls from different reps throughout the year, they take 70 of them, that's considered accessible. So in 2008, that number was 80%. And then in less than a decade, that number every year dropped little by little. And then over time, the compounding effects of that had a huge effect, impact. Because in 2016, that number dropped all the way down to 44%. Now, right now, we're in 2022 and about to start 2023. So fast forward 6-7 years, how much more lower is that number? And based on the variable of the 2020 lockdown, how much lower do you think it could have gotten? Now, based on my analysis and modeling of that, that number is less than 3% at this point. Think about that. Your sales team, every time they go outbound, they have a 3% chance of getting in touch with somebody because only 3% of physicians are actually accessible to reps, right? So how do you differentiate? How do you actually put yourself to be in a position to be successful? Well, the good news is that you're listening to this commercial. And the best part is that the majority of companies out there, and when I say majority, I mean 99% of them because I've audited so many of them, have not invested a penny into updating their sales training or having their sales reps know how do you actually sell and persuade somebody who you can't see in person, right? And I had this issue back in 2020, and let me tell you about the new way, the different way, right? And that is digital medical sales. You see, back in 2020, I was part of a small startup. We sold capital equipment to critical care departments, and I was able to use a digital medical sales strategy to put 35 deals in 60 days. During 2020, during the lockdown, that's right, 35 deals. And those deals ranged from deals like Johns Hopkins, UCSF, University of Kansas, to HCA facilities, small regional hospitals, right? The idea is, how do you use digital channels such as LinkedIn, email, virtual demos to persuade at scale and drive technology adoption? And the best part is that you can do this as a team where the effects of it are even larger. And so I put together a program and a community to train and develop the sales team of the future called the Medical Sales Network Effects Program. Why network effects? Because the most powerful companies in the world, from Google to Facebook, Uber, and so on, have used the idea of a network effect, meaning that the larger a network gets, the more valuable it is, the more leveraged it is. And your sales team can use these same kind of principles in their outreach digitally so that they can sell at scale without stepping into a hospital. Let me tell you a little bit about the program and how it breaks down. The program is divided into three different areas. It's all centered around content, which is constantly evolving, being updated through our portal. Reps can have access to this both on computer and on their mobile phone so they can learn on the go. And we have events and a community around that. So the content is very simple. With the content, we take first principle foundational topics such as psychology, persuasion, network effects, and more, and help the rep apply it across a variety of different areas. Not only just their LinkedIn profile, but their emails, their presentations, their outreach. So that way, even when your rep has to go in person, they're a lot more effective because they know the principles of psychology and persuasion and they're able to apply it. But then they can do that at scale using the same program. We have fantastic events every single week and every month. So every week we have these live calls where we cover a variety of topics, from how do you do a virtual demo to how do you shoot a video sales letter to how do you get emails opened. Did you ever think about that? Even before the before the lockdowns happened, we use email. How much email training have you gotten? Probably not much, right? So your reps could be sending all kinds of emails that marketing spent time to develop, and it's probably going to the spam inbox because they don't have it formatted a certain way, right? Or they didn't write the right subject line so that it actually gets attention, gets opened. Along with our events, we have this great thing called the Network Grand Rounds. These are essentially private Zoom calls with special guest speakers because, let's face it, you know, as talented as I am, I don't know everything. There's a lot of things I don't know. So I bring on the best in the industry to give these private Zoom calls. And so everybody gets on, The speaker gives a topic, and then they can ask questions. And if they can't attend live, they can always submit questions ahead of time and then watch the recording. And we've covered topics such as customer success, territory management, capital sales process. Let me give you some examples of those talks we've had. We've had Dr. Ira Kirschbaum, the chair of orthopedic surgery at Bronx Care, the largest nonprofit in the country, give a talk on how to get technology into a hospital. Where else are you going to hear the chair of a department explain how to get capital equipment in? We have Dr. Sandra Weitz, who teaches the business of medicine to private practice owners, explaining how a rep can be a partner and a contributor to a private practice. We also have reps and successful sales leaders give talks. So, for example, Jacob McLaughlin, when over at Medtronic, was given a poor-performing territory, turned it around in 1 year to a multi-million dollar success story. He provides his framework for that. And, of course, our community. We have a growing community online. We have this private LinkedIn group where we use it for people to connect with each other and also to share content and reports. And we have a lot of great people in that group. We have influencers such as the Mad Device Rep, executive recruiter Mike Moore, other people such as VP, former VPs like Jim Surik. But we also have a lot of sales reps, a lot of young associates who are in there who know how to commercialize and sell digitally, who you can hire onto your team, right? And also, there's plenty of people for you to learn from as well. We have some of the world's top and largest med tech companies are in our program right now, people from Stryker and Medtronic and Johnson & Johnson, but also a lot of startups like Hyperfine, Potrero Medical, Intercosmos, Moon Surgical, and the list goes on. And of course, we have a growing list of members getting huge results. I mean, if you're watching this on YouTube or on Spotify, you can see all these results. You know, anywhere from people getting reached out to online from surgeons to going to conferences and being recognized. So for example, Guido Lovera, she's in the spine world. She mentioned how surgeons directly message her online to learn about her products, and she's actually recognized when she goes to conference. Franco Dottillo, who at the time joined the program when he was in between jobs, was in a real tough spot, and wrote this beautiful testimony on how the program helped him land a new role and increase his income. And believe it or not, we actually have practicing surgeons in our program. That's right. There's actual surgeons. So like Dr. Michael Verne, he's a practicing spine surgeon, joined the program because surgeons are wanting to learn how to utilize and leverage things like LinkedIn to control a narrative online. And he mentions how his network has exploded, right? And for this podcast, since you're listening to this, I have a free offer for you. You can get a free LinkedIn profile consult from me and my team and see if you've qualified for the program. Plus, we also have team packages. So go ahead and click the link in the show notes below. Book your free consult. The best part is that you're going to walk away with at least three ideas on how to improve your LinkedIn presence so you can sell more and more effectively. So go ahead and take advantage of this offer. And now let's get back to the show.
Again,
just watch. Okay. I'm going to go through the framework one more time. I see a lot of people who just joined in late, but let me bring up Richard Southgate. Richard, thanks for joining. So Richard says, love this idea. Knowing your audience is the number one rule of public speaking. Tailor your sales pitch to the physician and give them a carrot. Don't copy and paste the same paragraph for all physicians. Yeah, exactly. This is like online dating. You need to stand out from the rest of the competition. 100%. 100%. And again, keep in mind, everybody, I'm a marketer, right? I'm a sales guy that happened to go into marketing. So I love automations, right? But you know what? If you're making some beer money on the weekends, sure, use automations, right? Copy paste things. But if you're dealing with million-dollar deals and you got one shot to make it work, like, just think about this. Think about this from a time standpoint. You're going to save time. Yes, you're going to save a lot of time if you just copy paste a paragraph, or you do this process and you make one video. You make one video that's not customized. You don't say the doctor's name. You don't say anything you need, and you send this one video to everybody. That could be effective. Yeah. But how many more times are you going to have to follow up with this, right? What's your conversion rate going to look like? It's going to look like garbage, right? This isn't rocket science, people. If you spend the extra time to send customized messages, right, it might take you, instead of, let's say, 10 minutes where you email blast a bunch of people, maybe it literally takes you 4 hours in one day to do this, right? Maybe 5 hours. But once you get that all out there, you've probably doubled, if not tripled, your conversion rate, that somebody's going to watch the video in full and actually book a call with you. Versus, I guarantee you it's going to accumulate to more than 5 hours in terms of you following up over the next few weeks and months, right? Now, I told you guys we're going to talk about follow-up, okay? Remember the follow-up? All right, let me bring up a banner. The two-part formula to effective email follow-up. Okay. So let me share with you the effective two-part formula to email follow-up. Okay. It's very, very simple. And this comes from the info product world, which is part of the worlds I'm in because I have an info product, right? And I've seen people do this over a period of months and even years. But if you're trying to, like, you know, get a multi-million dollar deal, this is what it takes. Your email follow-up can't be this just boring garbage. Hey, just following up to make sure you saw my last email. Hey, what did you think about my last email? Oh, do you want to meet with me? That's like whenever I read those messages, this is the voice I hear. I'm like, oh, you want to? I was just following up to meet with. It's just petty. It's annoying. And the value of your meeting starts going down because it's just needy. So what you want to do is stay top of mind with this person. And to an extent, reciprocity is a powerful point of persuasion. Okay. Reciprocity, meaning if you do something nice for me, I'm going to do something nice for you and vice versa. How do you do that? You send one email, let's say with an article, a video, something you find online that is relevant to your buyer and say, hey, you know, hope you're having a great day. Came across this. I know this is of interest to you. Want to share it. Have a great day. Done. That's it. Okay. What's even better is if your marketing department actually does real marketing and produces blogs, webinars, content, that way you have a good reason to follow up, a value adding. That's the first email follow-up. Let's say they still don't book the meeting with you or whatever. Second email, follow up with a customer success story. Follow up with a testimonial. Say, hey, Dr. So-and-so, hope you're having a great day. You know, I wanted to share this testimonial from Dr. So-and-so on the product. I'd love to tell you more about it, but just wanted to share with you. Hope you're having a great day. The email after that, another article, another podcast, something, right? For those of you who follow the State of MedTech, there's a reason why I think 90% of the State of MedTech episodes, especially the physician ones, they all have a CME credit that they can claim, right? You can see it in the notes. Why? It's so that you, salespeople, don't have to rely on your marketing department. Just come to my content, take that, send it to a doctor. It doesn't matter how relevant it is to them. Well, I mean, it does matter that it's relevant to them. But, you know, for example, you know, you can listen to one of these episodes and let's say it's with Dr. Daniel Paul, who does like a cash-based mobile orthopedic practice, get something of value out of that episode, email the doctor and be like, hey doctor, you know, I know you're not an orthopedic surgeon, but like this episode is really interesting specifically in this one timestamp, like, you know, fast forward to minute 30, right? And by the way, when you listen to this episode, you can get a free CME credit. Here's the link for it. And just get the link for them from the show notes and put it in there. Have a great day. Just do this over time. At some point, this person, this is how powerful reciprocity is. They will end up meeting with you. This is why there's a Sunshine Act and the Stark Law. Like the government actually, you know, banned you being able to buy stuff for doctors. But this is actually, in my opinion, way better. Like, do you think a doctor is really getting it that like excited when you send them like a $30 BS Amazon gift card or try and take them out of steak dinner? No, they can afford their own stuff. They make good money. But when you provide value, when you curate content for them, right? It's the thought that counts, right? They don't even have to listen to it. If after a month or two, you've sent like four or five of these emails with like some kind of content to provide value to them. And then in between that, you share some like customer success stories, at some point they're going to be like, well, you know, it seems like they have a lot of, you know, customers that are really happy and, you know, they provide a lot of value from like, let me just meet with them. You have to just guilt trip people. If you guilt trip somebody, like they'll just meet with you because of the fact that you're showing up. This is the problem with salespeople, especially in our industries, that you guys are trying to be like, you know, one call closers. For every one call closer there is, meaning that you get on a call and you can close them to the next step, 99 of you just, you can't do it. It takes a really special person to be able to do that. Okay. Most of you are not that. So this is the way you got to do it. All right. Let's see. What other questions we got? All right. Okay. So let me walk through again one more time. And again, for those who are watching on Zoom or on LinkedIn, feel free to drop a question, but let me just summarize this framework. Okay. Again, 57-second sales video framework. Okay. And again, and before I jump in, always ask yourself, what's this for? This is a design thinking principle. What's this for? It's a simple question. You know, it's an easy question to ask, but it's not a simple question, right? Because you have to actually put some thought into this. Okay. What's this video for? Right. So let's define that. Your intro cold video email pitch. What it's for is, have I created a hypothesis about this person that in fact they do have this pain that is causing these problems for them, which can be solved through this approach, which happens to be done by our product. That's the thesis you have, okay? And so if you convey that the right way, then this becomes very effective. Now, again, I'm all about systems. So after you send a message like this, and if you have a small territory, sometimes you have no choice. You have to go after this one hospital. You can't just say, oh, they don't want to meet, so I'll come back to them. In your follow-up emails, right? When you're providing that value, you can use the video sales letter approach as well. Let's say you set your Google alerts to certain articles, or you find some content that you can share with a physician. You send them it, but in it, you can put a quick 30-second video. This is something that I believe Matthew Ray Scott also talks about in his course on it, which is you provide like a synopsis or summary, like, hey, Dr. So-and-so, hope you're doing well. Came across this content, you know, I really liked it. You know, I put the link for it below, but just in case you don't have time to check out it, like, here are the three takeaways that I got out of it. Boom, boom, boom. Hey, have a great day. Done. And of course, the benefit about that, you can see if they watch the video or not. Now, the other thing is, if you are a salesperson and you have it's probably not that you have a cheap marketing department, you have a marketing department of product managers who don't know better, right? Which is a whole other topic. But you probably don't get analytics on emails, like the emails you send, like, do you know if somebody's opening them or not? What I recommend, go to HubSpot.com, okay? And you can use their email tool for free, up to 3,000 contacts. Okay, HubSpot is an email marketing, or not an email marketing, it's a marketing automation software and a CRM. Their goal, though, is like, hey, if we give really good tools for free to the salespeople and they all start using it, at some point the salesperson is going to say, hey, marketing, we should buy HubSpot, right? So it was made to get you as a lead, okay? Use their stuff, because then with their Chrome plugin, you can send emails and you can tell, did somebody open my email? Did they click it, right? So let's go through the framework one more time, okay? The 57-second sales video letter, okay? Four parts, my friends, four parts to freedom, right? This is America, right? We love freedom. Pain, right? Start with pain, 8 seconds of pain. You want a 3-second hook and a 5-second dig. The 3-second hook, this needs to be whether you get it from your own customers, which is a smarter thing to do, or if you don't have enough customers or you can't talk to anybody, you got to think about it. What's the trigger word that I can say that is going to immediately get this person's attention? What is the pain? Like, you know, if it's spine surgery, like, are you tired of dealing with other surgeons' revision cases? Right? It needs to be something where you feel like, if this person has this problem, when I say this, in their mind, they're going to say, hell yeah, I do. Right? That's what you're trying to get at. If a good hook, think of it as like a knockout, a good hook is going to make the prospect in their mind go, hell yeah, I do. Right? I'll give one, you know, because they have a very straightforward product, but like, for example, Mark Moore over at Surgeries, right? Great hook for them. Are you tired of losing money to cancel cases? Hell yeah, I'm tired of that, right? That's the hook, and you go into the dig, right? Then you go into a little bit more of that pain. Again, think of it like this. If you're dealing with a prospect, it's very likely that that pain they've had, either they haven't articulated it to somebody, or they just haven't articulated it in such a compelling way. Usually when somebody's talking about their pain, they don't do it in 8 seconds. They talk at length to it. But if you make this so sharp, it just cuts, right? That's when you got something. Phase two, right? 4 steps to freedom. That's what I should call this. The video sales framework, 4 steps to freedom. I got to work on that. You know, I'm not good at naming on the go. Okay. Next step, problem. 30 seconds, okay? If you can make it shorter than 30 seconds, even better. 30 seconds is the problem. Again, this is from pain to problem to solution. What is this? And I'm writing really, my handwriting is terrible here. Sorry, everybody. What you're doing here is education, okay? Talking about your product, that's not education. That's pitching, my friends. Education is non-branded, okay? Many of you talk about, oh, I love being a medical sales consultant. Oh, I like doing the consultative sale. Selling and consulting are two different things, my friends. Get that straight. There's a lot of BS in this industry that we need to start like pulling apart. That's one of them, okay? This is a consult right here. This is education, okay? 30 seconds. Focus on the pain that they're dealing with today. Remember, if you articulate this with the words that they likely use in a way that's going to resonate with them, it's going to bring you closer. It's going to start bridging gap. Move that into fear of the future. So pain today, fear of the future, PTFF, pain today, fear future. Okay. These pains that they're dealing with today are frustrating, but if they had to extrapolate out and think, if this continues 1, 2, 3 years from now, how lousy is my life going to be? There's some kind of fear of the future. If not, you have to somehow manufacture this, right? This is the one area, the fear part, fear of the future, where you can educate them about something that they didn't think about. Because they'll be very aware whether they have this pain or not. Because either it's a yes or a no, right? If they don't have the pain, this is a hard sell, my friends, right? That's a whole other topic, by the way. But the fear, right? The fear is different. So for example, again, I'm sort of giving away how the sausage is made here. But when I do my consult with a medical salesperson and I talk about the pain, we all know the pain that you deal with. We've talked about everything. But when I ask them questions about the fear, right? Like if you don't take care of these things that are frustrating you to these pains, what's the worst thing that can happen a year or two from now? Nobody's asked somebody, been asked something like that. And so a lot of times, this is where people self-induce into hypnosis because they start drifting off and thinking like deeply about what this means, okay? Focus on that problem. Now we move to the third stage, the solution. 10 seconds, maybe 20, but like, again, the whole point of this is that they could be in a run. They could be rushing something. If it's less than a minute, they're going to watch the whole thing. You know, human beings psychologically have this thing where they want to move things to completion if it's achievable. That's why with forms at like, you know, huge companies, Gallup polls and everything, they have that little bar where like you're doing the form and then all of a sudden it jumps to 80% and says, oh, you're almost done. We want to see that meter get to the done sign, right? So, and that's also why, by the way, with my videos, like let's say on LinkedIn and stuff with like my ads, at the bottom, you'll see a little meter sign showing it getting filled up because people will watch that to completion, right? Your solution, 10 seconds. Remember, this is not your product. The whole goal of this intro, this video sales pitch, is to get them into a product demo, okay? Or in my opinion, more like a product discussion, okay? After that, you end with your call to action, your 9 seconds, okay? 9 seconds call to action. What's that call to action? Call to action is going to be a magnetic offer and a reason to meet. Again, why are they going to pay time? Why are they going to pay with their time to meet with you? Even if it's for 10 or 15 minutes, okay? I recommend making your demos a CME-based demo. There's a way to do that. I've been doing it for a while. If you have an interest, shoot me a direct message and I'll see if I can help you out. Otherwise, provide some analysis. See what resources your company can give. If your company can't provide any of this, you as a salesperson, get creative and say, what can I learn, you know, to help this doctor? Look, let me give you a freebie, okay? I'm going to cannibalize my own product right now. Okay. Some of you can go take my little like mini course. I have this little mini course on LinkedIn, how to upgrade your LinkedIn profile, right? It's like $80. Go take that course. That's a little mini course. You can do it in a few hours, improve your LinkedIn. There's a lot of good things that happen with that, but then take some of those ideas and say, oh, by the way, doctor, when we get on this demo, something I'd like to offer you is that I noticed that you're on LinkedIn or you're starting to use LinkedIn. I actually got, I went through a little course on it. I'd love to give you the three most important things that you need to focus on as a physician to improve your LinkedIn. It makes it better for recruitment when you publish papers, et cetera. You know, I'd love to offer that myself, but then also I want to talk about my product, see if it's a good fit for you. If it's not, that's okay. At the very least, I can get some feedback from you. This is very important. You don't want to make this, it's kind of like, you don't want to make them feel that that if they book a meeting with you, that you're going to be hard selling them to move forward. Take the pressure off, right? And something as simple as hey, if what I described, you know, if this pain that I just told you about and the problem is something that you're dealing with, I'd love to get you into a quick call for 10 minutes, tell you a little bit about a product. You know, it may not be for you, which is totally okay, but at the very least, I can get some feedback from you. It would help me a lot as a salesperson. And by the way, I'm really good at LinkedIn. I'd love to give you some tips on what you can do to improve your LinkedIn. There's a link below. Go ahead and click that link and I'm looking forward to meeting with you. That's how you have to talk, right? And here's the other thing. This is why you can use something like Vidyard and create like a little button where they book the meeting. Or if you're just sending this natively, meaning you're recording with your phone, sending it to them as a text message or sending it to them directly on LinkedIn Messenger, you got to plug a calendar link. Like, and again, I'm just going to say this, like if you work at a company, which many of them are, that is so behind on things that they don't even give you as a salesperson a calendar scheduling link, go get one yourself. You can get one for free at HubSpot. Calendly has one. There's a lot of solutions. Some of them, when you get more like sophisticated with them, you're going to have to pay money, like $5 or $10. Pay the money. Get good tools, right? Like I can't, like, look, you can screw this entire thing process up. Just having a calendar link will improve your chances. Do you know why? Because do you think any physician wants to go back and forth? Like, oh, this is the days that I'm available. What days are good for you? Like, waste of time. Time, my friends, time. The word that I want you guys to adopt into your mentality is pipeline velocity. How fast do things move through the pipeline? Technology exists for a reason, my friends. And by the way, remember earlier I mentioned that you're competing also not just with pharma people and device people, you're competing with software salespeople, which is a new thing that's come out in the last 5 or 10 years. All those people, guess what they do? This is the stuff that they do. You think they're sending mass emails out, you know, with no personalization? No, they're doing these. They're having highly engaged sales processes. You think a physician getting exposed to this stuff is going to even care about opening your lousy crap email, which has got paragraphs and PDF attachments? No. Little things like that. This is what makes a difference, my friends. Stop focusing on activities that you're not even getting to, which is like, there's all this focus on closing and persuasion. That's important. The closing stuff is important. All that is important. If you can't pack pipeline, if you can't do this part good, you can't do the rest. Who cares about the rest? You can have 100% close rate. If you can't put anything in your pipeline, if you can't even get a meeting, if you don't know how to prospect, you're not a salesperson. You're literally an order processor. You might as well just be a cashier. Okay. Some of you are. That's okay. You're watching this. And so what are you going to do with this knowledge now, right? Either you're going to do nothing with it and you're going to sit back and say, oh, I feel so good. I watched Omar's, you know, little talk and now I learn how to do that? Or are you going to take action on it? God rewards those who take action. Okay. Now, any questions? Let's see. All right. We have a question. Okay. We got a question from Joe. Joe, good question. Let's pull that up. All right. So Joe's question. All right. Joe says, in regards to the video thumbnail or email subject line, should it be pain focused or incorporate problem solution as well? Great question. It's a good question. That's a guy who's in my program, right? Okay. So Joe, great question. What I want you to think about, so it's kind of two different things. Okay. Let's start with the email subject line. The whole purpose of the email subject line is to get attention, right? Think about great copywriters. The goal isn't to sell you all in one sentence. The goal is to get you to buy into the next sentence. And that purpose of that sentence is to buy into the next thing and to the next thing. Just like this. If you do a good job of manufacturing this, right? Then you get them to the close. Okay. So when you get data, right? So like in your video sales letter, you need to send a lot of them out, but let's say you send out 20 of them and you're noticing that most people are watching to 50%. Guess what you've just identified? There's something at that point in the video, whether you're talking about the problem solution, you did something there where you lost them. You weren't compelling enough, right? That's what you got to fix. So what I recommend is, once somebody's opened the email, they're going to see that video. You know, if it's video, it's going to be in a GIF format, and they're going to be very compelled to open it, right? Even me, when I get them, like I open them, right? And so the goal I would say is focus on your email subject line number one. Once you get that down, and by down, I mean, you got to, like, in my opinion, 50% open rate, if not more. Okay. Once you got that down, then you can worry about the topic of the video. But again, that there's too many variables that influence that, right? So for example, when somebody opens the email, you have to write some stuff. There's going to be the GIF. So it's very unlikely that the title of the video is going to make that much of a difference. Right. And so the email subject line is very important. So email subject lines that works, right? Believe it or not, ambiguity and imagination is your friend. Okay. So sometimes going with the pain is helpful, especially when you're sending to a lot of people. But the other times I would say is talk to them like your friend. And what I mean by that is like something as ambiguous as, hey, Dr. Smith, - thoughts, and then two or three question marks. That didn't come from just an automation. That came from somebody who knows you, right? So that's one example. So think about how you email your coworkers, right? So that's one example. Another one is like, hey, Dr. Smith, - thought you'd appreciate this, right? Or hi, Dr. Smith, I made this video for you, right? Something that's going to make somebody say, what? Right? Because if it's leading with the pain, you could do a good job of that. And the benefit about that is you're going to get a lot of, you're going to get mainly the people who are dealing with that pain to open, but you're also going to lose people who may not have that pain. You want them, because again, I know I mentioned you want to hook with the pain, but at the same time, if you can do such a good job in here educating that you've reframed it and something that wasn't a pain for them, now they start to start thinking about it like, yeah, you know what? I do deal with that, right? And that's the big thing. I think that's the key when it comes to marketing, right? And that's why you want a marketing department to do content, run ads and everything, is that there could be things, the goal of great marketing is not to create desire, it's to kind of uncover it, right? It's like you're moving dirt out of the way and then you discover gold, right? That's how I would put it. All right. So that's it for today. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And again, most importantly, take these ideas, make them yours, right? Take action on it. For those who are watching or listening to this on the podcast, if you have an interest to learn more about my program, you're going to learn more stuff like this. Again, this is more of a, this one was more public. We do a lot of private events that dive deeper into these kind of things. Click the show notes below, go to my LinkedIn profile, go to my featured section. There's a little webinar there, or shoot me a direct message, right? There's a qualification process. Not everybody can get into the program. So we got to make sure that you're a right fit for it, because there's a private group, private network of VPs, CEOs, other salespeople, right? And ongoing events. So that being said, happy selling, everybody. And don't forget, let me bring up the ticker one more time. Next week, very exciting. Next week, we are doing our first Deal Rip Live next Thursday. The event is on my company page. I'll be resharing it. So Deal Rip Live, this is where we have anonymous medical salespeople submit a deal, and I've picked a couple. I've invited two really heavyweight capital sales leaders, because they're both capital sales deals, and we're going to do a deal rip where we rip the deal apart. We press the rep. We get all the information. We help transform their deal so they have a better chance of closing it. You're going to learn a lot in that. So if you're interested to submit a deal, your deal might get picked for next week. If not, it'll get picked for the following deal rip. Go to dealrip.com, submit your information. Remember, it's anonymous, so only I see it. Nobody in my team or anybody else sees these things. It's private, so I will, you know, protect your anonymity. All right, everybody. Happy selling. Take action on this. It's Q1, my friends. Q1 2023. It's time to do things differently, right? Isn't that the definition of madness? Doing the same thing over and over again. So take this, make it yours, and get after it. And then if you get some great results, send me a message. Nothing makes me happier than seeing good results. All right, everybody. Take care. Thank you for listening to another episode of The State of MedTech. I'm your host, Omar Mkhatib. Do us a favor, if you like this episode, share it with somebody, and go ahead on Apple and Spotify, wherever you are, leave a 5-star review, type a few nice notes about us. This is how we get other people to find the show. Thank you, and we'll see you next time.